We're back in the Mitch Hanks Show. Mike Michaels in the studio. Robert Craig of Citizen Action of Wisconsin on the line. Hello, Robert. Hello, Robert Craig. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. We asked Mike came in studio, so we said, okay, you might as well stay. Say hello to Robert, Mike.
Hi, Robert.
Now, hi, Mike. How you doing?
You guys don't see eye to eye, but we were talking about civility, Robert. I know you're into the issues, progressive issues, but we've been hearing the mantra from the media, from Jeff Flake, from Bob Corker, and others, that the president is obnoxious and rude and a bully and mean, and he doesn't know how to act, and enough's enough. And to that, you say what?
Well, I thought Senator Flake's speech was amazing yesterday on the Senate floor, and yeah, there is a lack of, I mean, look, it's not a surprise Donald Trump's campaign for president was based on incivility. And so he's been willing to say things that quite frankly, were outside of anything any elected official could say and get away with in the past, and gotten political capital out of it, and actually went through scandals that would have sunk any conventional politician, but connects to a certain base of his voters in a different way, partly because he does do things no one else will do. But it certainly challenges most of the norms of civility we've had for most of the 20th century and before that, I guess.
That's right. But my point is, you're right, but he did all that during the campaign, everything. I mean, mm-hmm. the war with the Kahn family, taking off on McCain, the grabbing of the lower regions on the tape, Hollywood Project. I mean, all that stuff happened, Robert, but he still won 30 states. So it tells me that flyover country voters didn't care much about that stuff. I mean, sure, he lost New York by 1.5 million and California by 3.4 million. So he loses two coastal states by 5 million votes. But they must be more offended by that stuff than the people in Iowa or Kentucky. Isn't that the sad reality?
Well, it is the reality. I mean, we've had other horrendous things, like candidates in the Jim Crow era winning on, and I mean, the civil rights movement, winning on horrendous racism, and they won elections across the South. And
Wallace
got a lot of votes in Wisconsin. So the fact that he got a lot of votes and won the flyover country doesn't make it civil. So there's a difference.
No. He was definitely not civil. I guess the question there is, we all knew for 17 months he wasn't civil, and he still won 30 states. Is my point.
Yeah, I mean, his qualification was he was uncivil,
right,
because this part of the electorate is so upset that they want to see incivility.
Well, and he also talks like people talk at the bar, Mike Miles.
Right.
Isn't that kind of, apparently a lot of people said, hey, at least he talks like I talk, as opposed to the politicians.
Well, again, people are willing to look past what he says. It's about what he's getting done. And he made promises. And yeah, I mean, you know, Democrats like to hold Republicans to incivility, but please don't lecture me about civility when you had Hillary Clinton and her boy toy Bill running last cycle.
It's been years since he was a boy toy.
I mean, come on. Well, he's still a boy toy. That's the problem.
Say, she might have had other toys, but not Bill.
No, but I'm not saying she used them as a boy toy, people have.
Oh, I see.
But the fact of the matter is, let's not lecture Republicans and those who supported Trump
on personal behavior.
When you had Hillary Clinton, and then what was her top assistant? What was her husband's name? Oh, that's right, Anthony Weiner, who had a problem.
Uma Abedin's husband.
Who had a serious problem. So when Democrats want to lecture us, people voted against this. Because Democrats talk, Republicans get things done.
Boy, that sounds like
Congress has been incredible getting things done, Mike. It's got to be the most effective Congress since when? That Congress that brought Truman into office?
Well, they actually have been.
One of the biggest ever?
they actually have been. They failed on Obamacare. We all agree on that. But we're coming back to that. But, you know, this group has brought Neil Gorsuch in. We have gotten more conservative justices into open seats, and frankly, by the time Trump is done, he will have appointed most likely more judges than Obama. So we're taking back the federal judiciary.
Are they held up right now?
They're held up, but they're moving through at a faster pace. Uh-oh. Senator McConnell has promised that by the end of next year, they will have all of those judges through.
Mm.
Any major legislation, that's usually the definition, confirming a one Supreme Court justice is generally pro forma. Well, it happens with if you hold. If the
yeah, there's some VA
both.
Stuff.
There's the VA stuff. Reform, but let's not forget they've also
the VA
they've also
okay.
they well yeah that's pretty significant, and they repealed a number of administrative rules. Trump did some of that on his own. Congress used its power to repeal some of that. They failed on Obamacare. What Robert's getting at, did they repeal Obamacare yet? No, but they will. That'll come. Give us time.
You're doing tax reform.
I think taxes will pass.
They've not moved any major piece of the president's agenda. If you want to rate them based on previous Congresses, compare them to the first Obama Congress. I mean, I know you disagreed with what they did, but they passed major signature piece of legislation that were major central parts of the new president's agenda
in the second year, and Trump hasn't gotten there yet. So, you know, I will agree with you, Robert. If we're here in June and July, and they have failed to get anything done in terms of those bills, but remember, even Obama got his big pieces through in the second year of that
March of 2010 correct. Was Obamacare. Yeah.
But I mean, the whole stimulus package came much earlier than that, and that was far bigger than anything this Congress has done. But, you know, I'm glad they've been unproductive because they've done less damage.
But by Christmas, we'll have a major tax package through.
Well, I know we need to get more tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans. They're really under
a lot of stress. Robert, on that, I want to ask you one question. I've heard economists say that if you grow the economy by 1 point, it's like $1.5 trillion in revenue over, 10 years?
Over 10 years.
So if they did that, that would...
It's just never worked.
Well, no.
And the reason it doesn't work is because giving rich people and corporations
no,
more money
the
doesn't give them a reason to invest it in things that create jobs.
Well, so
there has to be consumers
with
money willing to spend money in their local community.
So you're rejecting the premise. You reject the premise that 1% growth yields $1.5 trillion in revenue.
I reject the premise that tax cuts for the rich and corporations will produce any large increase in growth. And it would produce a lot more growth with direct investments, expanding education, expanding health care, converting to the kind of energy system we need to prevent a global climate catastrophe. Those would all create far more jobs with the same money.
Demand side,
for the only people doing well in our economy.
So you're doing the Keynesian demand side approach. But didn't revenues go up after the Kennedy tax cuts and the Reagan tax cuts and the Clinton capital gains tax cut and the George W. tax cuts? Revenues went up.
Well, David Stockman came out and was right, indicating that not paying for the tax cuts was a disaster, and Reagan ballooned the deficit.
Revenues doubled.
Actually doubled.
Revenues doubled because of the tax cut. That economists certainly do not agree with.
They actually do. What they agree on is that Congress failed to deal with the spending side.
It was a spending issue, Robert. I mean, it was a spending issue, was it not? Hey.
So trickle down works.
No, it's not the point. I just wanted to go to the math. Revenues went up to be intellectually consistent. Wouldn't you have to say revenues would go down?
Because then with growth, you can't attribute the growth to the tax cut.
Oh, I see. No cause and effect. But you do cause and effect on higher rates, don't you, Robert? You do
on
higher.
What?
You think you get more revenue if you raise the taxes. Don't progressives see cause and effect on higher rates?
It depends what you do with them. If you invest them in a more productive way that creates more prosperity,
I see.
It creates even more tax revenue.
Well, what Robert is saying is if we give them to unions like SEIU, if we give them to the more government workers, if we pay government workers better, to hell with everybody else. You know, let's cover the point. There was
I'm for paying all workers better.
You want to do it artificially through some mechanism.
We're artificially tramping down wages now. Why are wages...
Now, wait a minute.
Into economy still not increasing dramatically. It's because the economy has been rigged.
Well, I know, but
Does
that include the cheap labor that your party continues to bring in?
Well, I'm not... it's not my party. Labor standards.
I'll back you up, Robert. You don't want cheap labor.
But then he should be with the Republicans on immigration.
But they're talking about repatriating...
Why? The whole Walker agenda has been to cut people's wages. It really has. That's what Act 10 was really about.
Getting back to the other point, and we'll get to that in a minute, but don't they want to bring back money that's overseas because they say that we've chased money overseas?
Yes.
They want to repatriate the money?
And they want to put, again, 70%+ of the total dollars paid in taxes, is paid from households that make over $138,000. That's two professionals. That's, in fact, two teachers.
Two teachers
making $65,000, $70,000 apiece late in their career. Those people would have an additional $4,000 to spend, and they will spend it. That spurs the economy. And again, yes. Now, if people make money, wealthy people make money, they will get some benefit
well,
from
okay.
this.
Okay, but all those tax cuts I mentioned, you're saying that growth happened in spite of the tax cuts, Robert. That's my point. Because why can't
I'm saying the tax cuts were one of the least productive investments you could have made, and so you could have a lot more growth by spending the money in a different way.
Well, but,
absolutely.
But
spending it on government.
But revenues went up.
No, spending it on investments that expand prosperity and strengthen and modernize the country and make us more competitive and make the energy transition we need to make in order to prevent a genocide.
Well, there's not going to be a genocide, I can assure you. No one needs to worry about that. There's no question.
You've looked at the science, Mike? You're convinced?
I have looked at the science.
Forest fires.
Oh,
hurricanes.
We've never had those before. Mitch, we had a couple hurricanes this year. What about the 12 years just prior to this where we didn't have a Category 3 or larger hit the United States? Oh, but Mitch, we can't talk about that.
Robert, I'm trying to help.
We can talk about the fact that the amount of destructive weather like this has increased dramatically in the last two decades.
I can predict it's going to snow within the next month.
Category 5 hurricanes all at once, ever.
This is why the Democrats lost. This isn't about genocide, Mitch. This is about people like Robert don't like big people like you and I getting in our cars
you
and driving.
Big people, you rub it in again.
I know, Mitch, but we got to be honest.
You said genocide, and I started to channel Kim Jong-un.
You know, we all have to ride on buses. We can't own cars. We have to cut the size of our homes. God forbid if we run air conditioning.
You sound like a naysayer, Mike.
Well, I put it this way. First, I just believe in science. But secondly, there's a way to do this. You could do this in an energy-efficient way, quite frankly, that didn't require you to drive a Pinto.
Once upon a time, the science Robert so praises told us how many planets were there, Mitch?
Seven.
Or nine, and then it went up, and then it's, whatever you want to go with.
Changing the classification, Pluto didn't go away. Just there was a question of whether Pluto was a moon or a planet.
Because the science changed. Science is ever evolving.
Wait a minute. How did I miss that about Pluto? Because we learned that.
There was a back and forth on
first
Pluto.
Grade.
Science doesn't change. The way science works is science works on the basis of a hypothesis that you prove based on evidence. So very different than conservative thinking, you'll notice,
Eggs are still bad for you. Eggs
like
are going to kill
right-wing
you.
Right-wing radio. And so it's always a theory, but the theory of global warming is so much overwhelming evidence that there's very little doubt, but it will evolve because it's constantly open to new evidence and it's complex systems. But it will not determine that there is no global warming threat and everything's fine or anything like that you hear from the Koch brother-funded right-wing think tanks.
Oh, okay. So, again, let's just be clear.
Isn't Tom Steyer running for office right now?
Well, yeah, didn't he?
I saw him on
he spent
commercial.
A whole bunch of money last time to change people's mind. The bottom line is the Democrats like to use science to tell the rest of us how we're going to live. They love to control us. It's all about control. You know, their data, as we know, much of the data that was used for some of this is now coming under fire, not just here in the United States, but in the United Kingdom and in Europe. Science does evolve.
The yardstick? You're talking about the yardstick?
Yeah, I mean,
The sentence is so overwhelming that it's bizarre the willingness to impose an ideology that's a risk. That risks genocide, quite frankly. And if we have a 5 or 6 degree increase, which is what we're tracked to doing, it's a nightmare. And the bizarre thing is we only have to spend 1.5% of GDP to prevent us from going over 2 degrees Celsius. And doing so would create massive numbers of jobs when we, in fact, have no strategy to expand family-supporting jobs.
In an industry that's collapsing.
That is legitimate. And so it's a wonderful example of where we could benefit ourselves, expand opportunity, and it wouldn't cost that much in the broader scheme, but we have to get around this sort of know-nothing ideology that we're hearing from modern conservatives.
No, it's not know-nothing, Robert. It's just we refuse to be controlled by people who again, say it's all about the science, but it's not. Scientists actually disagree. Robert will say they won't, because Robert will say those scientists don't matter.
Well, no,
it's an overwhelming consensus. If you're making policy, you go with the overwhelming consensus.
A consensus of liberals? No, we don't.
Full of contrarians.
Well, it's probably unfair, but he was here. I had him stay. Robert, I'm sorry. I'll give you the last word. Give me some kind of a promising slogan for the future before we sign off.
I think out of this Trump moment, which is embarrassing to the country and embarrasses our standing in the world, that we can build a really populist progressive movement here that really can create a robust 21st century that achieves the full promise of American life, that we're on the precipice of real change, not fake nativist divisive change like we've seen under Trump.
Robert Craig, thank you. Mike Michelson, we had to give him the last word. I'm sorry. We appreciate your time as well. Longtime staffer for Senator Stephen Noss. Bill McCashin will handicap the Senate race in a moment. The Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.